Hear again these words. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our great mediator, that you are the one who stands in the gap. You are the one who is in the middle. You are the one who provides for us the way to our God, who invites us and calls us into the presence of God and allows us by your grace, through your blood, and by the power of your Holy Spirit to be in fellowship with the God of the universe. Lord, we thank you that today on Veterans Day, we remember those who are willing to stand in the gap for the freedom we now have and rejoice in. Lord, as Christians, we rejoice that you yourself stood in the gap for us. You bridged the chasm between us and eternal death. You bridged the chasm between our earthly tabernacle and the heavenly temple. You bridged the gap by your blood and by your sacrifice through the cross. You bridged the gap for us. And you tell us that if we do that for others, it is a great sacrifice and we will be rewarded. And Lord, today we remember those who are willing to put their lives on the line for us. As Lord, we thank you for both your death and your righteousness, for your redemption, for our justification and our salvation, as well as thank those who are willing to give everything for us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we ask that you would bless your word to our hearts, that we may be strengthened to stand in the gap and to be your representatives, to let people know how much they're loved by you, that we may be willing to sacrifice for others, to love God and our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, we are in your kingdom. We are in this new covenant, and we pray, Lord, that you would teach us today what that means. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to tell you that today is Veterans Day. Some of you didn't see that on the calendar, didn't see it on the screens when you came in. And I really struggled when I was looking at the passage of Scripture that was set before me, that was picked years and years and years ago by the church. I believe that it's important sometimes not to just pick what we want to say, but to look at what the church has handed down to us, which we call the pericopes or the lessons, and to say, okay, Lord, what was the purpose of this? Because we believe in a God who is sovereign and orderly and has planned all this stuff out. So it's not by accident that this passage of Scripture is planned for this day, in my opinion, okay? And so I'm like, well, how can I do this? What is the word here that you want us to look at, Lord, to help us to understand Veterans Day? Because normally when Veterans Day shows up on Sunday, it's been my practice because I come from a British country, and in British countries, they don't have Memorial Day in May. They decided a long time ago that they were going to remember on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, which was the armistice of the war to end all wars, right? How funny was that, right? The war to end all wars ended in that railway car, and the time of the end of that war was the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour. And so for years, every 11th day of the 11th month, at the 11th hour, we go and we wear poppies. I was wearing one today as a little red flower to remember Flanders Field and where World War I took place for many troops. And to remember those who died, but also to remember those who came back and were scarred because of their willingness to put their lives on the line for the freedoms that we now enjoy. And so Veterans Day doesn't seem to hold the same thing because you have two. You have Memorial Day and Veterans Day. But I thought it was important to think about, okay, Lord, what do you want us to say? And the funny thing was that I was going to talk about the last few verses of Hebrews chapter 9, the last few verses there where it talks about the result of the blood of Christ and what we gain from the result of the blood of Christ, which I think is really important to understand that we gain salvation, to understand that we gain that place as His called children who have this eternal inheritance. But the Lord kept drawing me to verse 15. And I thought, why do I have, you know, the word mediator, which is in chapter 9, verse 15, shows up only 6 times in Scripture. 3 of those times in Hebrews. You'll see it in chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 12. And I thought, Lord, what is your point here? I mean, we talked about Jesus as being the great high priest. We talked about Jesus as being the one who is, who has given his life as a ransom so that we can be in this new covenant. Why do we talk, you know, we in the Lutheran Church tend not to talk about mediator because it implies that there's something in between. Because the word mediator simply means to be in the middle. That's the actual meaning of the word. Means to be in between, in the middle. And a lot of times we have been bothered over the years by people putting things in between them and God. Because we see the Trinity as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're concerned whenever people put a pastor in between them and God. People put the church in between them and God. People put other people between them and God. Have you ever experienced this? When people have been followers of a great evangelist or preacher, and then that preacher falls, their whole faith, it crumbles because they've put that person on a pedestal between them and God. So as Lutheran Christians, we've often emphasized not a mediator, but the great high priest, Jesus, who has opened the Holy of Holies to us. And so we tend to think of Jesus as a high priest, but when we think about mediator, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And yet the most amazing thing was as I was looking for a definition of mediator because it sounded too simple to be in the middle. I mean, I've often been accused of this because Lutherans are always, as far as a Christian perspective is out there, we're in the middle. I've then often called myself an evangelical Catholic because I'm in the middle. That really drives both sides crazy, by the way. You ought to try it sometime. Because that doesn't make sense, because we have labels for people, right? These people are evangelicals. These people are Catholic. And when you come from a perspective that we have on Scripture, on law and gospel, on covenant and kingdom, we come into this middle ground, and it's not a pleasant experience, I'll tell you this, because people are always questioning you, like, well, don't you stand for this, or aren't you against this? And you go, well, yeah, I stand for Scripture. And believe it or not, Scripture isn't that simple. It isn't. And so, you know, there's a lot of mystery in Scripture. And that's what our Catholic brothers and sisters, Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, and Eastern Catholic brothers and sisters are always being indicted for because they have so much mystery. And the other side's saying, well, there isn't any mystery. It's all rational. We can figure it out. And we go, uh-uh. We can never figure it out because it's like trying to put the ocean into a cup. Impossible. On the other hand, there has to be some sort of boundaries to the mysteries that they're within what Scripture says, right? So here you go, this middle ground. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say about mediator? What is this word? Why do you put this word in 3 times? Remember what I said about things? If the Lord tells you once, pay attention. If the Lord tells you twice, get down on your knees and pray. The Lord tells you 3 times, change direction. Follow Him. Let your will be aligned with His will, because every time He says stuff 3 times in Scripture and people don't listen, what happens? They're in trouble. So when something shows up 3 times in Hebrews, meaning the word mediator, I think the Lord's trying to tell us something. And the best illustration I could find was from a pamphlet I used to hand out when I was in college. I think you'll probably find this hard to believe, but I was kind of an outspoken evangelical type person when I was in university. That's supposed to be funny, but anyways. Hard to believe, yeah. And so I used to always have pamphlets with me. This is before the age when everybody was carrying around their computers in their hands, okay? This is an age where people didn't actually look at their phones while they were walking and hit everybody. This is an age where people actually liked paper. And so I would carry around pamphlets. And one of the pamphlets I carried around had this picture of God in his temple on the throne on one side in this chasm, this valley, and us here in this world suffering from the sin, the original sin, the death, the sickness, all that stuff in this world. And then between the two sides, a cross as a bridge. You ever seen that drawing? I think it's used in quite a few different pamphlets and books and so on. Pardon me? The four spiritual laws, yes. It also talks about where Christ sits on the throne. There's these pictures. And I would always use this picture, and I would always talk about Jesus as bridging the gap. And my question for you today is, do you see how important it is that Jesus bridged the gap between the old covenant and the new covenant, between the earthly tabernacle and the heavenly temple? He bridged the gap. He wasn't just a high priest who went in fear into the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkled the blood of the lambs and the cattle and the heifers and sprinkled it out, the blood of the unblemished lamb on the mercy seat for the sake of the day of atonement for all the people for all their sins. But this is a once and for all sacrifice, it says. He went in, and when the temple curtain was torn in two and Jesus ushered us into the Holy of Holies, it's an amazing gift this mediator of the new covenant gives. He stands in the gap through him and through his sacrifice, his once and for all sacrifice for all sin, past, present, and future, on the cross of Calvary, his blood shed for us. That is where the cross bridges the gap and allows us to be in the very presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the author of the universe, the creator of all things, the God whom no one could stand in the presence of. Remember in the Old Testament when Moses wanted to see God, what did he have to do? He had to hide in a hole and had to wait until God went past and only could look at the back. You don't look at his back. Because to be in the very presence of God and to see him meant death. Because our God, the God of the universe, is holy. He's loving. The main truth about God is love. But we must also remember that he is holy. And therefore, he cannot tolerate sin in his presence. And as sinful human beings, we therefore cannot enter into the Holy of Holies, and neither could that priest until he was totally cleansed by the blood of the unblemished lamb. He could go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. And so what Jesus says, that when Hebrews says that Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice, that he is that mediator who stands in the gap for us, I thought to myself, do people understand? Do people understand that Jesus is the one who stands in the gap? That Jesus is the one who is the bridge? That without Jesus, we would still have this huge chasm between us and God, and we would not be ushered in to the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords like we are today. We would not be in the fellowship of the saints. We would not be at the people of God. We would not understand what it means to be kingdom people and people of the new covenant. That means that we have that eternal inheritance. And it's interesting because the author of Hebrews in the beginning of chapter 9 spends an awful lot of time comparing Jesus as the lamb that was slaughtered for us versus the lamb in the Old Testament that was slaughtered to allow the priest to go into the Holy of Holies. He reminds us that Jesus' death was voluntary. He knew what he was doing and he went voluntarily. It was moral. He knew that it was moral, meaning it was needed and it was necessary and it was a sacrifice on Jesus' part. It was spontaneous. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for us when he said, "Not my will, Father, but your will be done," right? And, I mean, he spends a lot of time explaining there's a huge difference between the lambs that were slaughtered that really didn't have any control and Jesus who gave himself for us. And I thought, okay, Lord, you want me to talk about meat eater? Okay, fine. I understand. Jesus stands in the gap for us. What does that have to do with Veterans Day? One of the reasons why Veterans Day is so important to me is that I have been I was a chaplain. They call it padre in the Legion for many, many years. Matter of fact, I'm still in the reserves technically in Canada since I don't live there, I don't have to serve. And one of the things that I kind of miss is being a padre for a Legion. Matter of fact, I moved my Legion membership from BC, where I had it for years, to Royal Oak, where there's a Royal Canadian Legion in Royal Oak. I don't know if you knew this. Kind of weird, hey? Royal Canadian, but that's because so many Canadians came over to work here. They actually had one in Dearborn and one in Royal Oak. The one in Dearborn is kind of closed, and so there's one in Royal Oak. And so it's kind of funny because I haven't been a padre for many years, and the reason I love being a padre in the Legion was because I saw the scars of those people who are willing to stand in the gap for us. I recognized the scars, the sacrifice, the horror, the experience that many would not talk about. As a matter of fact, one of the most things that's burned on my memory is when we went to the movie Saving Private Ryan. When I was the president of the Legion, we said we're going to all go to this movie. And there's a little movie theater in a place where I lived in Unity, Saskatchewan. We were all going to go to this movie. And we went to this movie Saving Private Ryan. And for the first time after many years of being the padre, the vice chairman, the chairman, the president of the Legion, having lots to do with these people, these veterans, I never ever heard them talk about their experience. But going to Saving Private Ryan did something. For the first time in years, they started to share some of the experiences that they had. Some of the experiences they had during the war. And I'll tell you something, to see these people who are rocks, I mean, these were people who you wouldn't want to meet in a dead-end alley if you had an issue with them. These are people who, you know, who would have... they don't use this in the Canadian Armed Forces, but if they were here, would have Semper Fi on both shoulders. I mean, these are people who are eternally loyal, okay? Not always loyal, eternally loyal. And for them to open up and start to share some of the experiences they went through just gave me such an appreciation for the fact that we celebrate as Christians Jesus standing in the gap for us, his willingness to give himself for us so that and it's interesting because before verse 15, the word covenant is something that we understand, right? It's agreement between us and God. That's covenant between us and God. But what's amazing is after verse 15, diatheke, the word there, is translated will and testament versus covenant. Because it's not only the covenant between us and God that is talked about before, that we all understand, right? Because we understand that when we're baptized and our name is written on our forehead and upon our heart as one redeemed by Christ and crucified through water and the word, we are brought into the kingdom, we're children of God. We know that we belong to God. We know who we are. We know that Jesus died for us and that God loves us. We understand the covenant, but what happens here is the word actually changes. And in the context, most translations, if not all, change it to last will and testament. It's a word change. And it's significant because what it tells us is the new covenant will not exist without the blood of Jesus. That's important. And so he even says there, you know, a will doesn't come into effect until what? There's death. A will does not come into effect until there's the sacrifice, till there's the death, till there's the blood. I mean, it's very obvious. And so when Jesus is the mediator, it's his ransom, it's his life, it's his sacrifice, it's his standing in the gap, being that bridge, building for us the way from this world into everlasting life, the drawing us to the Lord, that which we are so thankful when we come into the worship, into worship today, that He has drawn us to Himself. But it's also that He offers us fellowship with God, not only in this life, but in eternity. And we hear in the creed that we are in the fellowship of saints. We're celebrating that we're part of the body. We're part of the church triumphant. So my prayer is that as we think of Veterans Day, we honor those people that were willing. Now, again, Memorial Day, we remember those people who actually gave their lives. But on Veterans Day, we remember the people who are willing to give their lives, right? They signed up for it, and for whatever reason, God said, no, not yet. But they were willing, and a lot of times, I think, and this is what I was good at was sharing about Saving Private Ryan, was many of the people who came back felt guilty that they survived. That was the thing that was a revelation to me. I sat there with a guy who was over 80 years old, who was weeping. And for the first time, he never told his wife, he never told his children. He kept it in for all those years, was weeping in front of me and said, you know what bothers me the most is that I lived. And that was incomprehensible to me. But to him, he felt that somehow he let everyone down because he lost all these people and yet he survived. He had to come back and face the families of the loved ones and the loved ones of those who died. And it was devastating for him because I don't know how it was in the United States. I'm pretty sure it's probably the same thing because most places, most of the troops or most of the army or Navy people were usually from one geographic area. They had units from different geographic areas. They would go out and recruit people during the war from these different geographic areas. And so you often served with people who you might have grown up with. And you had to go back and you had to face the family and you had to stand there on Remembrance Day every year on November 11th and think about the fact that everybody was looking at you who lost a loved one and saying, why did he die and you didn't? I mean, that was just traumatic. Talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, this was huge. And for all those years, this person had held this guilt in. Can you imagine? Imagine holding in the guilt of thinking that I should have been the one to die, not that person, or not that person. I mean, it was beyond my comprehension, and yet I thought to myself, you know, the only thing I could offer, which is the most important thing, was that Jesus understood. And that the one thing that I was able to offer as a padre that I don't think anybody else could offer was to remind him that God is in control and that God chose him to be the one to come home. That God does not make mistakes and that our God decided for whatever reason, and I don't know all the reasons, but I gave him a list that I had kind of knew from his past, why he was the one who should come home. So I want to ask you today, we know we stand in the gap, or we know Jesus stands in the gap for us, right? We know he's that bridge between us and God. We know he's the one who was ransomed for our salvation, the once for all sacrifice for our sin. We know he's the one who paid the price by his blood so that we can have entrance into the Holy of Holies, that we can spend time with the God of the universe, that he ushers us into his presence. He gives us access to God, which is the covenant. But we as kingdom people know that we're in fellowship with God. He lives in us. He's part of us. And we go out and represent him. We're light and salt to the world. Amen? So my question for you is, what are we doing, or what are you doing, to stand in the gap for the people who still think that there's an unbridgeable chasm between us and God? I mean, we know what it's like for veterans who've had to stand in the gap for our freedom, because we have the stories, we know the history, remember all those things that happened. One of the things that Hollywood does do, that's good, is every once in a while they remind us of this, the sacrifice for our freedom. My question for you is, now that you live at this time in history, this day, November 11th, 2012, at just after the 11th hour, what are you doing on this 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour, what are you doing to stand in the gap for those people who don't know that Jesus is the one who stands in the gap for us? Yes.
Walking next to them.
Yes.
Listening to them.
Yes.
Loving in the best way we can, because we can only do our best, but Jesus has done it all.
Yes. Amen. That was exactly what I was going to say. You added a few more words, but that's okay. That's Don. You're very good at this. Thank you so much. He's a great example of this. My question for you is, you may not have to put a uniform on. You know what was the most amazing thing that I have seen just in this last little while? Was when the storm was coming to the East Coast. We were here, there was the Eastern EMU band was having a fundraiser here in the Fellowship Hall. And we were standing there, and what it was the most amazing thing was to watch those Marines at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier as the wind was blowing. And as the storm was coming, they never left. They never moved. I mean, that was amazing. Did anybody see that? The kids had all, I love modern technology, they all had it on their phones. And they're all standing around talking about it as we're cleaning up. They're standing around talking about the fact that they're not moving. It's a testament to standing in the gap for our freedom. And my question is, what are we doing to stand in the gap for those who don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who don't know the fact that He bridges the gap between us and God? He's won the victory for us. He's won redemption for us. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's part of the Trinity, and we celebrate the truth that He has done it all. And yet all He's asking of us is, are you willing to stand in the gap? We used to sing that old hymn, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." There was a great push when I was growing up in the church to take that out because it was too militant. I grew up in the West. It was too militant, you know. Peace was the thing. And, onward Christian soldiers. It didn't sound politically correct. And yet, isn't that the truth of today? So we may not have to put on the uniform of our country and bridge the gap and be those people who stand there like those Marines did during that huge storm, stood there before the tomb of the unknown soldier. Yet the Lord has offered us the privilege of serving Him in this time, at this place, in this history, His story, this time, to bridge the gap, as Don so eloquently said, by praying for people, by being light and salt and representative of His love to people, by letting people know that He died for them, that He rose again for them, and that He is the one who offers the way to God. Can we commit today, not only as we honor our veterans, but to think about the fact that they're an example for us, as they stand in the gap for us in the sense of putting their lives on line for our freedom? Would we be willing to spend the time each and every day to pray for those people who we know still don't understand about Jesus bridging the gap? Can we covenant together as people understand the new covenant that God has given because of Jesus' death and His blood shed for us? We have a new covenant with Him. There is no longer animosity between Him and us. We no longer have to fear the Lord like in the past where there was a sense of He was going to come out and destroy us. But now we fear Him in a sense of awe of His grace and mercy. Can we covenant as God's people, children of this new covenant, who belong to eternal life, who have entrance into the eternal kingdom, who know about Jesus bridging the gap for us? Can we covenant to bridge the gap for those people who need to see us live out the faith that God has given to us, who recognize the importance of bridging the gap for people who are suffering from this lack of understanding? I just want to ask you, are you willing? Because if you're willing, our God is able. Isn't that the promise? If you are willing, our God is able. He is the ransom. He's paid the price. His blood has been shed. He's won the gift. He's won eternal life. He's given us his inheritance. He died and rose again for us. And he asks the question. He bridged the gap. Are we willing to be his voice? To be his hands and feet? To be the ones who stand in the gap for those people who desperately need to know the love of Christ? That's my prayer for us, brothers and sisters. Let us never forget to pray for our troops, for those who serve us. I mean, we recognize ever since Libya that people put themselves in harm's way for us each and every day, right? Ambassadors, those in the foreign service, those who serve us, those people who put themselves between us and harm's way in the police force, firefighters, EMTs. I mean, there are so many people that serve us. We have to remember those who are in education that serve to help the younger people to understand what's important in life. Whether it's at a university, college, or a school, a regular school. I mean, we know that there are many people who do put themselves in the gap. And our prayer is each and every week that as we are ushered into the kingdom, as we are ushered into the Holy of Holies, as we're ushered into the presence of the God of the universe, that we would recognize what a privilege it is to fellowship with the believers and to go forth being strengthened by this fellowship, to go out and to be light and to be salt and to stand in the gap and to pray for those people, love on those people, share with those people, walk life with them. If we're willing to do that, if we're willing to be those people who stand in the gap, God promises us the power of his Holy Spirit. What I love about having understanding that we're part of the kingdom, you know, like that teacher of the law there that came to Jesus and told him, you know, great teacher, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, you know, or he says, love the Lord your God with all your hearts. Our hero Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. These summarize the commandments. And the teacher says, you are so right. And Jesus turns to him and says, you're very near the kingdom. Very near the kingdom. But we're not near the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. And we know that when we love God and we love one another, that we are being asked to stand in the gap for those who are not yet part of the fellowship of believers. And it's my prayer that we will do that voluntarily, recognizing that the Holy Spirit will come, because one of the marks of the kingdom is signs and wonders. And I really believe that God wants to do more signs and wonders among us. I believe he wants to do more healing. He wants to do more amazing works, signs and wonders among his people, so that people will understand that when we're standing in the gap, we're not standing on our own power and strength, but we're standing in the gap by the power of his Holy Spirit and doing what he has called us to do. Brothers and sisters, let's think and ponder what it means to stand in the gap and ask the Lord to show us what his will is for us. Because as I shared 2 weeks ago, our goal from Romans chapter 12 is to align our will with God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I believe the Lord gave me the word mediator because I believe he wants people who are willing to stand in the gap by his power and by his amazing gifts to stand in the gap and to call people to understand that he is the bridge. May we honor our veterans today, but also be mindful of the call that we have to be soldiers of the cross. Amen.